condition at zero. That condition at zero, Helga made this condition not because he wanted to restrict the class of, because formulas become more complicated and more tricky when you have this A. First, A is not zero, not necessarily zero, might be zero, but, and then F of A is not necessarily zero. I mean, it's better not actually. But formulas become more complicated. And this, the Linder's question, that relation between simple model and this blue is slightly more complicated than what was in that one of the slides of Helga. So but it will appear here. So class of kernels, it's not general kernel. This is a so-called triangular or factorable or whatever kernels, plus this is Markovian processes, basically, plus conditionally Markovian processes, which I try to mention at the end. But if I forget, Valery will ask me anyway. Like Brownian bridge.
My questions are removed because you have considered a very special type of kernel, so which is.
Yeah, this ones, yes. So basically, any U, any V, but which is any Markovian whatever process, but also so-called conditionally Markovian can be included into this consideration. Conditional Markovian, if you fix some point some way, it becomes Markovian, which is Brownian bridge.
Because Sachs and Ilvesaker, they consider kernels of.
They consider different. Yeah, they consider okay. Sachs and Ilvesaker considered this approach was different. So they basically were interested only in the design. In the end, for blue, we don't have blue. We don't do discrete blue. So they had discrete blue, and they had all these Hilbert spaces with radiative kernels. They assumed some derivatives at zero, the covariance function. And they considered choice of points for blue. However, I will try to claim somewhere that we are better than Sachs-Ilvesaker.
Maybe for that type of kernel.
Yes. Okay. Or maybe for Brownian bridge, which is more doubtful. But we can I can show what happened there. I mean, maybe on the blackboard. It's not in the slides. Anyway, regression model. What is my pointer, because this one doesn't work. That one is what Helga considered, the continuous version. And this is a discrete version. Okay. And this is my kernel. Standard estimators. Okay. Tutorial for first year undergraduate or whatever. So that is a weighted least square, general weighted, W is any matrix you want. So that one is non-degenerate. This is a covariance matrix of weighted least square. So why weighted least square is good? Because it minimizes weighted sum of square. That's what textbooks say. So particular cases of this weighted least square is ordinary, O for ordinary here. That one doesn't take into account covariance matrix of covariances. That is blue, discrete blue. Blue here is discrete blue. And that is an estimator which is not very well known. It's called signed least square estimator. So that's ordinary least square estimator. We just put signs inside, pluses or minuses, plus or minus one inside. So observations we like, we put plus one. Observations we don't like, we put minus one. For some reason, because there are all these famous paradoxes with ordinary least square, that ordinary least square, all the Smith paradox and stuff like that, that with correlated observations, it's not very good sometimes. Sometimes it is good. So just to improve it a little bit, we use this estimator, which is almost ordinary least square. That estimator was considered by Noether, but it's not very well known. Nobody kind of uses it. So we used it very, very heavily, actually, in one parameter case. In one parameter case, it solves the problem, as I will show one or two slides later. So in addition to these standard ones, for some reason it's not enough for us to that estimators, and we use different type of estimator. We call it matrix weighted. We get, if this O is a identity, then we have least square. Then we get ordinary least square. But we allow ourselves to play somehow with these weights in multivariate case. We don't need it in multi-parameter case. We don't need it in one parameter case. We can do this signed one. That's enough. And we want to keep these ones as easy as possible. So basically, we want to keep them identity. So for most observations, that will be identity or kind of identity, maybe minuses inside, like signed. So we want to be as close as possible to ordinary least square. And let's see how we will be doing with that, and where we need some corrections in multi-parameter case. So this is a very, very flexible estimator. You can put anything, basically anything, as long as M is invertible, you have unbiased estimator. Why? Because you put this X transpose XY, yes. X theta when you take expectation and M and M minus one cancel. So you basically can put anything here and you get unbiased estimate. And you get this variance. Okay. So not clear why we need that, but we will need that at the end. I'm not going to use that for some time because I will do one parameter case, because to some extent multi-parameter case will be can be easily seen as generalization. Not very difficult, actually, generalization of one parameter case. So one parameter case is the basic and more philosophically more important. But I come back to that slide. Okay, one parameter model. One parameter model, we have only one parameter. We have only one function, no vectors. We can have design, but we use signed design. So we use ordinary design, but multiply, allowed to multiply our weights by minus one if we want to. And this is just Cauchy-Schwarz inequality. We can find optimal weights for this. There is no convexity. I'll go to the next slide straight away. So this is a general criterion. This is still one parameter case. Xi is a design, signed design. But the problem already in one parameter case is not convex. That's why nobody was able to solve it in general. Only if F is constant, its location scale model, then this term disappears and the problem becomes convex, and it was solved for some whatever exponential kernel. That is a famous, actually, Greenlander solution. It appeared in several places. And basically, that was the only known case of optimal design. Okay. So if we have discrete space, then we can easily get these optimal weights, signed weights, because we are not sure if they are positive or non-negative. And Cauchy-Schwarz gives us that this, we don't need convexity. Cauchy-Schwarz is enough. And by direct checking, we can check that this is exactly the same covariance which Blue has, because it's discrete and everything can be computed. So we have the signed ordinary signed least square estimator gives the same result as Blue, discrete Blue. Okay, so how to compute? Okay, we have this sigma minus one. That's the reason for the choice of kernels, this one. So whenever we have, we can invert this matrix and then go to limits and blah, blah, blah. Then we can solve the problem. Otherwise, This is of course for general kernel, but next we need to do something with sigma minus one. So we can do sigma minus one in that particular case. So Radoslav did it. But then after we struggled for quite a while, I found the solution in my book, which was 85, because I did it for something else. Of course, I've long forgotten it. And it was with Marina Kondratovich, whom some people know. She was my student. She's what's her position? I don't know.
She's an MBA.
Yes. That one. Yes. So that was her, in her PhD. So it's a very useful result of inversion of some whatever strange matrices. So whatever the formulas. Doesn't matter what formulas are, the fact that we can invert. And now the problem, next problem is go to the limit to get design, optimal design. Let's take these formulas and try to go to the limit. So we cannot actually take the uniform design. If we take uniform design, nothing works. We need to take quantiles of whatever Q function and stuff like that. But we can go to the limit and get the continuous optimal design, so approximate optimal design and continuous model. Now assume that we have AB interval, we have this signed measure because we solve the problem, we're solving problem for signed LSE. It's non-convex, as I already mentioned, but the careful consideration of this previous designs when n tends to infinity and points are chosen in a strange way show that we have some limiting distribution. We haven't even proved it that it's optimal design. We just know that it's a limit of some whatever procedure we constructed for a finite number of points, but we can compute the limit. We cannot prove that the limit because we don't have optimality theorem because it's non-convex criterion. We can have necessary condition, of course, and it's satisfied, but we cannot state it from these considerations.
Anatoly, if I can still ask.
Yes.
So when you say limit, so you have difference of dj, or I don't remember, if you go to the previous slide, so you have this difference q.
Yes,
and so you have to make some assumptions that it dumps in some kind of smart
way. Yeah, continuous. Yes, continuous.
Across all intervals, because I can do limits at the end of interval a little bit faster convergence, and in the middle.
No, you can't because I can only go to the limit when points are quantiles of this Q. So this actually denominator disappear. Because it's optimal configuration. That's optimal designs. Yes, sorry. The points will be quantiles of this CDF with this Q function.
Quantiles.
Yes. So anyway, denominator disappear.
Okay.
So denominators disappear, otherwise there is no chance to go to the limit.
Okay, then.
So I'm just saying that somehow if we go to the limit in some way, we will be able to get these formulas. I'm not claiming that they're optimal or anything, we just have some design. Two slides later, I will try to convince you that they're optimal designs, but not yet. These are optimal designs. So what are the optimal designs? They have mass. And the left point, mass at the right point, and some density inside, in the middle there. So,
what do you mean mass?
Mass means probability measure has, I don't know, probability 1/3 put points on A, probability 1/4 put points on B, and whatever density.
Okay. The correlation is 1.
This is some. Kind of whatever. So mass means positive probability of B not at A.
Yeah, repeated observations.
I'm talking about continuous case. I'm not talking about realization. Realization is three slides later or four slides later. Okay. So,
of course.
No. That's the main discussion in a way. This will be the main discussion. So don't spoil my party. So that's not the main discussion.
But you need at least two for your party.
So here is point number one. So I came to one positive aspect of all this. So far, there was only one, basically only one continuous design known. We had two or three more, but they were very particular cases in the other paper. In one parameter case, that was for location scale model and for exponential correlation function. That was Greenander actually result, and Noether repeated, and Noether did several versions of the same result. Only one density. What was the density? It was uniform density in the interval AB, mass 1/3 with coefficient 1/3, 1/3 at the left point and 1/3 on the right point. That was famous example which was going from paper to paper, and that was the only one known. So that already gives you as many analytical optimal designs as you want for these kernels, for these UV kernels, but for any function, for any differentiable function, because f comes here, so you need twice differentiable. But as Höger mentioned, because of his dual representation, you only need once. Functions have to be differentiable once. So we can get already from increase the number of known particular approximate optimal designs for these models from one to as many as you wish. You just put any f and any u, any v, any interval, whatever, and you get, and we can generate just by Maple as many tables like that as you want. So mass at A, mass at B, and these are different cases for U and V. Parametric cases, whatever, anything you want. So that's the first advantage. Already in one parameter case, there were no one or two asymptotic optimal designs known for least square estimator or signed least square estimator. We have as many as you want. So there is no problem. You just put into this formula some function, Maple will differentiate it for you, and you have the new optimal design. However, how to realize it, because you remember we cannot repeat observations. We cannot, it's kind of nonsense design because we cannot put many observations a day. So if you insist on using least square, then what you have to do instead of even in this location scale model, so that was optimal design. What you have to do, you have to put 1/3 observations here equally spaced, and 1/3 observations at point A, 1/3 observations at point B, but you cannot because you cannot get any more information. So you put lots of, okay, 1/3 observations very close to A, 1/3 observations very close to B. Yeah, eventually you will converge, but this convergence will be extremely slow. Eventually, we check that. Eventually you will converge when n tends to infinity, then you will converge to the continuous blue variance, but it will be a long process. So the problem with least square is not that it's bad estimator. The problem is that this optimal density is very difficult to implement. So when you try to save observations, you say, why do I want 1/3 of observations here? Because it's one point. I put one observation here and uniformly spaced. It's bad design. It's bad variance. It never converges to what you want. You really need to put, if you insist on using on using the design. And that's the main difference. And that's why we needed these weights, different weights. We need to change, basically what we need to change, we will need to change weights at points A and B only. We don't need to change the weights in the interval, because we can take the quantiles of the CDF from this density, and then we replicate, we emulate the density, and it's fine. But we cannot emulate the masses. We need to give weights to these points, because if you look at blue from the LSE point of view, blue puts much bigger weight to the A and B, and that's the main difference. So if you insist on implementing that as we did in previous slides from the least square point of view, you have this difficulty of that discrete designs are very badly approximate this limiting measure. Otherwise, you still converge. Okay, for I still didn't prove that designs are optimal. Okay, consider the case of Brownian motion. In Brownian motion, you see this Helga's formula, but you have extra f here, f of a divided by a, which Helga said zero. For that, for Brownian motion, you can directly check the optimality of this design by using this necessary sufficient condition of optimality, which you can find in some books on on Noether book, for example, on blue. So blue has to satisfy some condition. This is a blue measure, this one, I think. So you can directly check the optimality. Optimal densities. Optimal densities are usually nice, this the internal bit, not the masses. Masses are always masses. But sometimes for some models like this one with the sine, because sine is intersect zero, so we can have this kind of densities, which means that we not only need density, but we need sine density, so that we need absolute value, and then we will need to assign signs to the points, not only to treat points from as a quantile of the distribution. Otherwise, it would be almost a least square estimator. But for this kind of examples, which are not very typical, but for all these polynomials and all the other things, it's fine. It's positive density or negative. We can always change sign. My point is that for most cases, you can still treat our estimators as ordinary least squares, because we give weights one to inside, but we need to treat A and B in a special way. This is a typical good picture. So because we have typical good pictures, typical bad pictures. So that one is a limiting continuous blue. That one is discrete blue. And that is Sachs-Silvisaker points.
Which one?
The swap in between. Sometimes we are beta, sometimes Sachs is beta. The crosses. Small means good, but here, for example, Sachs starts badly because it's asymptotic. In the first ones, you don't know, you never know. So sometimes it's worse than our this crude point, these quantiles of our p.
And n is number of points.
N is a number of points. Yes, for 2 points, n plus 2. So 2 means a and b. And n is a number, this is 2 points inside. So 4 altogether. This is 4 points, 5 points, 6 points, 7 points. Because it's n plus 2. We treat a and b special way. So, okay. One of the points is that, as Helga already mentioned, doing more than 10 points in most models is kind of waste of energy and waste of space and waste of resources, because for design for risk-related deviations, we never the variance doesn't go to zero, so variance goes to a constant, we are quite close to a constant, to this constant. We have efficiency whatever we do. If we are not doing ordinary least square with no corrections, we get, okay, in this case, 97%, whatever, 96. That's what we were doing with Maria for the last 3 days for millions of models. Not these ones, but similar. The ones Helga was talking about, all these efficiencies of these designs, it's very quickly, we usually for five, it's already, I don't know, 97.
But this point set is Kiefer. You'll be safer and so.
What? No, because optimized discrete blue is better than sucks. That will be in this one is optimized discrete blue. This is sucks, and this is sucks, and this is us. Here sucks is better than us, but it's sucks and Weizsäcker points are always worse than optimized discrete blue. Well, optimized for points.
I can see that sometimes it's...
Bad. No, it's optical illusion.
Is it better glasses?
No. That's... They all this. Okay, you cannot see. It's all the same.
Okay.
No, but actually, if you see carefully, the middle of the cross... It's the middle, not the bottom of the cross.
Yeah.
It's the middle of the cross. Okay. No, that optimized discrete blue is always better. And to add to what Helga said, we basically always reach that as well if we implement with some corrections what Helga said in these blackboards. So we don't reach that because what we want to do here, we want to emulate least square, ordinary least square, to not to go as far from ordinary least square. What Helga was doing, he didn't play that game in a way honestly. He used the answer and tried to go from the answer and said, okay, I try to use the answer. And of course, he has advantage because he did not want to stay close to ordinary least square. We want to stay close to ordinary least square. We wanted just to correct it. And we can manage that in some examples quite nicely. In some examples, not. Okay, that's a general multi-parameter case and stuff like that. So that limit in design, which I showed, can also be obtained from the transformation, and that's a multivariate case already, multi-parameter case already as well, from the Brownian motion for these covariance kernels. So we can get basically optimal designs for all, whatever optimal design means, for all multi-parameter models using that basically what Helga showed on the blackboard, but with no assumptions at zero or whatever f of a. And this is a covariance matrix, the covariance matrix of continuous blue. And we reach it by what? By playing with weights. These are our weights, which I said I will come back. If we come back shortly to this estimator, these are these weights, but asymptotic versions of these weights, O of x. Because I want to stay very close to ordinary least square, I only use weights, decent weights at A and B. But at all internal points, I only play with the design. And design is this P, the same P. Oh, sorry, wrong way. The design is this P function. This is my design. And this will be the weights at points A and B. So I still have optimal design problem. My estimate is not quite ordinarily C, but almost, because I only use signs. In multivariate case, I need to use not only plus one, minus one, but I also need to use zeros, because I don't like some points and some directions. So 0, 1, 0, minus 1, 1. Okay, so, sorry. So proof of that discussion that all these models are equivalent in a way. So any model with triangular kernel can be reduced to Brownian motion. And then I will mention the Brownian bridge type model. Assume we have this model, U and V, general U and V. It can also be written as VV and mean of QQ, because if T is smaller than T prime, then it will be Q, and it will V divided by Q, multiplied by Q will give us U, this U. Okay, so this is the transformation of variables. T equals Q minus 1 of S. So if we write this model for this variable and divide by V of Q minus 1, then we have this model. So 3 is exactly the same as 1, but in different time, and divided by this V function. The only thing we need to check is that is a Brownian motion, and we check it just taking expectation. So if we take E of S and S prime, then we have VV everywhere. The first V comes from this formula, and this V comes from our normalization, our denominator. So they go. And in the minimum, this is Q of Q minus 1. They go as well. So mean of SS prime, it's Brownian motion. So the noise becomes Brownian motion. And that is our function, which in the previous slide, I denoted F tilde. So all the, in that sense, all these models are equivalent. We can go from any triangular to any other triangular. So we have all these cheap examples everywhere. How to incorporate conditionally Markovian process? We need to condition on some value of y at x0. So that will give us, for example, okay, consider that covariance function, k of ts equals 1 minus absolute value t minus s on minus 1, 1. So if we condition that on value at 1, we get extra term. We should introduce new parameter in the model, which is the value of this of our noise, of our y, into this point, whatever point we take. It doesn't matter which point we take, 1 or minus 1 or whatever. So we need to augment our model by introducing one more regression function. And then our kernel will become triangular, and then everything will be rosy, as usual. When I gave this talk in this room, it's recorded, you can see. After this talk in the previous program, there was a very long discussion because the talk was about ordinary least square. My talk was about that paper with different kernels and stuff like that. And this time, talk about this paper. And Helga talk is whatever, next paper. The people who were very aggressive and unpleasant even after the talk were Henry, Luke, Werner, and they were attacking me with these papers, and they were saying this is all complete rubbish because everybody knows that ordinary least square is much worse than weighted least square, and it's all proven in these papers, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, okay, I agree with them, but not completely. Okay, least square, I agree only in one point. I agree that least square is slightly worse than weighted least square. With the rest, I don't agree. And I don't agree with these papers as well, because these papers are purely on the problem of constructing the worst optimal design, the worst designs for the least square. So they were not trying to consider typical or even uniform design or something. They were all only considering the worst design for the least square, where least square has the biggest disadvantage against weighted least square, and this is not fair. Okay, in our examples, we have many examples. If we don't, and this is the only problem. Basically, okay, science is not a big problem, but this is the main problem. So if for fixed n, because we cannot deal with this problem, we cannot possibly match efficiency of ordinary least square to the weighted least square. However, if we introduce weights and signs, then we are almost as good as discrete blue. So to some extent, this is a kind of partial answer to that discussion. So what is how to slightly improve ordinary least square to get close to blue? If we don't improve, of course, we have many examples, and we did it with Marie as well. So this week we have many examples when indeed ordinary square loses a lot to discrete blue. Otherwise, it's almost as good. That's another similar plot to what I already showed. Another one of the same type. Here we lose slightly because in multi-parameter case, of course, many more cases we can lose more with this approach. We can lose much less with Holger's approach because it's in a way.
What are the x's and the dots this time?
This is us. This is Sachs, and this is discrete blue, and this is.
What is that?
Sachs is here.
Oh, is it better?
Of course, it's better. For a typical problem, of course, it's better.
What do you call typical problem?
Typical problem is taken from because they never. Okay, come on. They are. Maybe not very good points, but they're using weighted least square. They use blue. We don't use blue. Remember, we use ordinary least square slightly corrected. Of course, we are worse. For typical problem, of course, we are worse. So what is the discussion?
Why just ask?
Okay. Of course, we are worse because we don't try to emulate. So if we try to emulate, the situation completely changes. No, when
Anatoly, I just want to be sure that it's not optical effect again.
No, of course. Okay, and yes, and that's a partial answer to the discussion: what is ordinary least square, what is weighted least square. And of course, if you follow, yes, I don't need that much. Sorry. If you follow the approach on the blackboard, which I don't know if I wanted to use some, I forgot now, then you can get much better because you don't try to emulate ordinary least square. Okay, and English is very, very, very poor because and incorrect because I should have said thank myself for talking, not but I have to say in proper English, thank you for listening, thank you.
Does anyone other than Val want to say something? If not, Val, do you want to say any more now?
No, I want to ask. So, about Browning Bridge. So, Browning Bridge, if I recall correctly, we have our Browning motion.
Yes, was fixed. Yes.
Okay. So.
Yes.
At this point, there is no error.
Yes, but you don't know this value.
Why?
Okay, because you don't really know where you finish, because Browning bridge with unknown end. Okay. Okay, you want to finish, fine.
Browning bridge, I finished. So I place two observations. So I have function t square, whatever. And I put two observations, one on the left and another on the right. And I have.
But you have perfect observations, you don't need anything.
Of course.
It depends on number of parameters, though. If you have 10 parameters.
But still, obviously, this design is the best one because my estimator has zero error.
Yes. Good. Yeah. Only if you have if you have not more than two parameters. Yes. But if you have 10 parameters.
Yeah, but in your case, you say it is not. Because you can cut, you told that you can reduce all problem to.
Yes, but no. Whatever you do, you put two observations in A and B. There is no escape because they are always the best points and whatever. But then, if you want to use this technology, maybe if you use a different technology, if you want to use these triangular kernels, you need to introduce new parameter into model or whatever. Okay, maybe we talk about different Brownian motion.
Okay.
No, actually, I was talking about this model where the correlation is one. Correlation is one after the time interval one. So which means you have exactly the same point. But when you fix the value of this point, then you become triangular. I mean, you become anyway.
Okay, well then I think that probably we all need our tea break after that. Thanks again to both of you speakers.
Thank you.